Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, I think there were several reasons that we wanted to have a conference call. We mainly want to find out, you know, the best ways for us to communicate with each other, because we do hope that, you know, over the next year or so we can work on some projects together and have some products that we can take to the next USCOTS meeting. So that was one thing we wanted to talk about. You know, what's the best way for us to communicate? Would it be through regular conference calls? Are there online resources that we might be able to tap into? You know, David went and set up a Google group for us, and then we've had other things that we've tried too. And we also want to talk about just our general goals for the next year, what we'd like to do as a group together, things that we can work on, and then maybe individual projects depending on what people's interests are. So that's what we kind of envisioned talking about today. Am I leaving anything out, David?
That sounds about right.
Okay. So maybe the first thing we can talk about is just, it would be nice to get a sense from you guys what you would prefer in terms of communicating. Is it better to try to do things online, like through Google, or we've tried Ning and WebPaint as well, or might it be better to, you know, once in a while try to organize a conference call?
You know, it might be good to do both,
mm-hmm.
to have the online thing going. I know that there hasn't been a lot of activity,
yeah.
And then have a follow-up conference call so we can talk about status of things,
mm-hmm.
and so on. I don't know.
Well, I know one thing that David and I have talked a little bit about is the fact that maybe we try to do too many different online things because, you know,
mm-hmm.
we set up this Ning site, and then when we were at USCOTS, we put this WebPaint wiki together because we thought that would be a place where we could start, you know, maybe building a site that was structured all around online teaching and learning. So we had both of those things kind of going on, and now we have this Google group, which maybe in the end would be a better option since that's an email list.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would be easier for us to kind of talk back and forth through Google than do things on these other sites.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it might be easier if it was directly to our email, and
mm-hmm.
and even if there was a larger discussion that should happen from that, we
yeah.
could then go to another environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of what I was thinking with setting up the Google group, was that it's, we all work with email all the time, and so having it come through the email where you can just send an email message to the group email address, and it goes out to everybody, and you can just reply to things,
yeah.
that makes it pretty easy for people to
mm-hmm.
kind of keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
How well the participation has been going on those online approach?
That's kind of why I was thinking of the Google group, because we haven't seen much activity.
Yeah. Yeah, we've tried to kind of start discussion on the Ning site, and we haven't really seen a lot of activity there. Right after USCOTS, there was some activity on the WebPaint site. We had set up a place there where people could go and indicate what their interests are and maybe what kind of working groups they'd want to be involved in. But that was kind of it. It didn't seem like many people were going back there to post things or things of that nature. And I don't know if it's just that people kind of forget about that. I had kind of assumed the way Ning and WebPaint were set up that you could receive an email if anybody posted things, so you would know to go and check that. But I know that I personally don't ever receive anything, so maybe you have to set it up specifically to get some kind of email digest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd had a similar that I haven't seen. In fact, I went back to the site and noticed that there were a number of things that had shown up there, and it hadn't notified me of
mm-hmm.
anything. So I don't know whether I've got it, just don't have it set up correctly, or whether it's not working correct or what.
Yeah.
How many people are going to JSM meeting this August? Any idea?
Well, I'm going to be there.
Maybe that's a place where those people who from the group can have a face-to-face meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be a good idea to poll people and find out who's going to be there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that the group I was in the past, we tried to get together at JSM in between the two USCOTs. We found that basically there was a three or four of us that managed to get there. Myself, I'm probably going to be there for one day, and that's going to be it.
Okay.
I've got the family's going out with me to Seattle to visit family in Seattle, and so everybody's going to stay there. And I'm driving up to Vancouver just for one day. But if we wanted to meet on that day, that'd be great. I just don't know which day it is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when I'm going to be there either. I'm kind of waiting to find out when my presentation is.
Yeah, well, ours is in the same session, so it'll be
right.
The same day.
I forgot about that. I just thought about that right after I said that.
I don't think I'll be making it in August.
Okay.
I'm not going either this August.
Yeah, it's Vancouver's a bit of a trip.
Yeah, it's a trip even for me, and I'm in Ontario, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I just think that no matter what, I think it's going to be hard for all of us to find a good time to get together. To me, that's why the online option was such a great idea, because I think we all have online interests and do online things, and I just sort of assumed that we'd all be kind of regularly checking in if we set something up. But I know everyone is really busy as well. But maybe we could arrange something so that, at least once a month we could maybe try to check in, or David and I could send out some kind of update on things that are going on, or, we could try to set up conference calls. That, too, can get kind of tricky, though, because it seems like, there isn't a lot of overlap in people's schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think... we haven't got very many people at this one, and part of that is just the number of people that can make it to these kind of things.
Yeah.
Whereas if we try to go through online facilities like using the email list through Google, or even if we did something with Ning or whatever, that has the advantage that we can more easily pick it up when we have time.
Yeah.
But I think what we need to do is to have something that's keeping people moving more frequently.
Yeah.
And it might be, I don't know, but it might be helpful to have some concrete goals, and I think you mentioned that too, so that we can talk about the progress and know what we have to do. because all these other things get in the way, because teaching has to happen and things have to be graded.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's true with me, too. I have my to-do list, and if it's not on the to-do list, I don't get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of that, too, just maybe laying out, what are the goals? What's the product that we want to have in the end? And we talked last summer at USCOS about, putting this wiki together through CauseWeb. And to me, I really think that's a really great idea. I think that, having this site that's all about online teaching as it relates to statistics, I think that could, make a big impact. And I think we all have, somewhat different interests where we could each, take a piece of that and make it our own or work on that part of it.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be, a starting place that, we want to try to do this. What do we want this to look like in the end? What kinds of, sections do we want on here? Maybe we'd have something related to technology, the kinds of technologies you can use in the online course, or issues related to assessment and grading, or just best practices in teaching, good activities to use in the online course.
We'd kind of started something like this with the wet paint site.
Yeah.
Maybe what we could do is to keep ourselves moving a little bit, try to set a goal for each of us adding something to the wet paint site on a regular basis, and then kind of touch base once a month to see what we've added and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as what we add, there was, I think there was a section in there for technology stuff.
Yeah.
There was some other stuff I think we could set up fairly easily, set up areas for best practices, things like that, so that
mm-hmm.
we can have different things that people can add to it and try to make it so it doesn't take too much to add.
Right.
Yeah.
I think most people have come to the group with more a feeling of want to learn something about how to do the online teaching or that kind of thing. So more like come with the mind of come here to learn something rather than coming here to contribute something.
Mm-hmm.
Am I thinking anyone thought the same similar way? Or that? I thought that because of a lot of people still pretty skeptical about online teaching, so
mm-hmm.
most people join a group for the reason of wanting to learn something.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a tough thing to set a definite goal how
mm-hmm.
to pursue because perhaps, including myself, don't feel like being able to contribute much.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Yeah.
I kind of got that impression, too, is that when we were talking at USCOTS, a number of people seemed to be new to online teaching or just getting into it, and as a result, I think Carl's right. They probably
mm-hmm.
don't feel they have that much to contribute, but on
mm-hmm.
the other hand, I suspect that they have more to contribute than they think.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Even just questions are different ways of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or sharing your own experiences. You know, maybe your first time teaching online didn't really work out very well. You know, and if you talk about it, perhaps those of us who have more experience can chime in and talk about our experiences or what we've done that has been successful or hasn't.
And, of course, there's those of us who haven't had the experience but are willing to chime in anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice idea is to say kind of like a frequently asked questions area.
Mm-hmm.
If we added something like that to the wet paint site and
mm-hmm.
had people, and actually they wouldn't even need to go to wet paint if they were to simply put it out onto the email list
mm-hmm.
and ask questions and let it bounce around, that would be a nice thing to have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I'm actually doing something like that with my starting to try to do something like that in my classes, have the students do the equivalent of a minute paper
mm-hmm.
and turn the minute paper questions into a frequently asked questions on the Moodle site.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that then builds up into you know, a place where students can kind of go and look for, you know, I had this question. Is it something that somebody's already asked?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if we had something similar, that would be nice.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking was is that, you know, back to Carl's idea, that a lot of times if you've been doing something for a long time, you don't recognize the difficulties. And a lot of times having people that are not as familiar
mm-hmm.
asking questions or pointing things out can help a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the end product for 2011, what is the end product that this type of group supposed to produce? This is the first time I participate in this cluster thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of end product that we are expected? We are expecting.
It's really wide open, Carl. it's entirely up to the group what we want to do. There is some expectation that the group has a presentation in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be a breakout session with a lot of materials, or it could be a poster session with a couple of things. It's really depends on what we can achieve and so forth. One of the cluster groups from the last sequence has actually spawned a number of research projects that I know the one that Neil Ragnas and who else was in that? The group that Neil was in.
The research cluster?
Yeah, he was in the research cluster, and there was three of them. And what they did is they had, within their research cluster, they had small clusters of three or four collaborators that picked a topic and worked on it. And Neil's group presented at JSM, and then they presented at USCOTS. And I know that they put in an NSF grant to continue the work. So really that cluster kind of spawned some research activity. It's not necessarily that we go that route. The group that I was in, all we really put together was some short documents, kind of a list of ideas and so forth for introductory stats teaching, and put that together into a poster that was then presented at USCOTS this last time. I think if we looked at this wiki site, we have a we haven't used it yet because it's a little bit more difficult to work with, but there's a formal wiki site available under CAWS that we could take stuff from Wet Paint and then reformat it and put it in there in a more permanent form and provide an online resource that people could go to. And if we had that online resource with some resources, frequently asked questions, best practices, that kind of thing, and simply put that in and did a poster on that, I'm sure they'd be satisfied with that from the group.
And I think that would be a really good contribution that we could make.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's been about a year past. Is there any anyone knows anybody in the cluster has been doing some kind of research related activity about online teaching thing? Has anyone?
I don't know of anyone that's doing online-related research. I know there was a couple people in our group that were interested. I think.
Yeah, I was one of them, but I had lots of questions about how to start it. So.
Yeah, it's. I'm actually going to have a chance to do something next winter.
Oh yeah.
I've got a. It'll be the first time I offer a intro level online or a intro level hybrid course. And what I plan on doing is having two sections of this main main intro course that we teach. I'm going to have a ground section and a hybrid section. And I want to run both of them with the same materials, the same homeworks, exams, and so forth. So they're basically, the only difference is the format of the meetings.
Right.
And that'll give me a little bit better direct comparison. So it's really hard to do real research on this kind of stuff, though.
I know.
You run into the problem that, you know, you run one section. How do you compare that with anything?
Yeah, I'm running two now. It's the first time I've done it, and it, I guess it had potential, and that's why I posted something earlier on to see what people thought and if they'd be interested. So yeah, it's an intro-level statistical literacy course, and so there's a completely online section and a classroom-based section.
Okay.
So they're happening now, but I'm not doing anything with it. One, because this is the first time that the section was offered online, and I really didn't know how many people would be signed up to it. But presumably this will happen again, so it has potential for comparison, but I just had to figure out what the comparison should be. What are the outcomes?
Well, that was kind of why when I was looking at this, the opportunity came up. I do a lot of online stuff in my ground courses, and I kind of did the opposite direction just recently. I ran an online graduate level course that I do, and then I did a ground course and used the same materials, the same format, Mm-hmm. The only real difference was is that we met once a week instead of once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the results were pretty good.
Mm.
So I'm kind of thinking of doing the same kind of thing, taking and essentially reformatting my ground course in such a way that I can easily move it to a hybrid course.
Mm-hmm, right.
Here at Grand Valley, there's really, I don't think, any interest in doing a fully online course.
Yeah.
Because people are just a little bit too leery of it.
Right.
But there is a lot of pressure to go to the hybrid course so that students have more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
We can meet the needs of non-traditional students and so forth
mm-hmm.
better.
This next fall, I'm going to be teaching online and in the classroom for the first time. Usually I'm either only teaching online or I'm only teaching in the classroom. And for a long time, I thought it would be really great to compare those two. But as I think more about it, I'm just worried about the fact that there are so many things that are going to be beyond my control, and I don't know in the end if the comparison's going to mean much to anyone else.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I'm not going to be able to randomly assign students. And I found just from teaching over the years that the online students tend to be quite different from my classroom students and vice versa.
That's right, yeah.
And I've had to, you know, even though I use the same book and the same software in the courses and try to be really consistent in terms of exams and things, there are many assignments I've had to totally change in order to be able to use them online, and
mm-hmm.
students discuss things in different ways online than in the classroom. So I'm just not sure if a comparison is in the future or not.
You know, it would be interesting. Sorry.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to have, like, a large class. So maybe
mm-hmm.
it's a classroom-based course, a ground course, and then randomly assign half the people to an online version of that for the first part of the term and then switch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you can't randomly assign to sections. But something like that, I don't know if it would meet ethics approval or not. But
yeah, that was the first thing I thought of was that doesn't sound like something you'd get away with.
No. Well, you know, I like my graduate work was in biostats, so I'm kind of learning on the fly through
mm-hmm.
through this educational research work. But you know, I did some work with service learning early on, and
yep.
They were okay if I was going to do a crossover design.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't like it if I was just going to randomly assign people randomly assign people to the different treatment groups.
It's at the end of the day, it's always difficult to try to do this kind of experimental type of study for this kind of classes, because at the end of the day, you're evaluated by students.
Mm-hmm.
And SOS really a lot of time dictate what you end up have to control the class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I teach face to face. I teach online, but I use the entirely different book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how the kind of comparison. If I've been doing this for many years, but I really never sit down and think about doing the comparison, because at end of the day, it looks like both classes perform very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, as long as they are learning something that I desire for them to learn, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was starting up this this first offering we're going to do for the hybrid intro course, one of the things I was talking about doing was the audience that we have in this intro course is really broad. We have about 4,000 students a year that go through the course.
Wow.
And the students are from all over. They range from fairly technical computer science people to dance majors, and from the students that are 4-point level students down to the ones that are just scraping by with a 2-point
mm-hmm.
or less. And so you get a really broad spectrum. And a lot of the students that I get in my ground intro course, I'm absolutely positive, could not handle in an online course. And so
yeah.
What I was thinking of doing was is actually putting together an exam that they had to pass before they could get into the course.
Mm-hmm.
So basically have them pretest, and if they can pass the pretest, then I'll let them into the course.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to do a comparison between the ground course and the online, I've just ruined any comparison by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm not sure which way I'm going to go yet. If they'd let me get away with it, what I do is I do the pretest for both my ground course and my online course. That way I pick only the good students in both places.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, let the rest of the students go with the adjunct instructors, and I'll take the good ones.
Yeah.
I still think they'd let me get away with that.
Yeah.
How about an issue IRB, the use of students as a subject for research? Is that an issue for some
Absolutely.
Universities?
Yeah, absolutely. If
yeah.
we're going to, if you're working on something like this, and the intent is to collect information and to write up the results, I would have to go through an IRB in order to get approval for it.
Yeah, so would we. Yeah, us too.
It looks like there's no exception.
Yeah.
Well, I think if there were an exception, they would be in for trouble fairly quickly. Because the review board is there to protect the researcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, and particularly we have a consulting center that gets heavily involved in a lot of that work. So we're involved in the review board for other people's research, and so that would really look bad if we didn't do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, maybe though this is another thing that we can do as a group. You know, I too am kind of interested in getting more involved in research, but I often struggle with thinking about, you know, what kinds of things could I do in order to investigate what's going on in the online course. And perhaps those of us who want to do this but we're not really sure how to get started can brainstorm and maybe come up with some ideas of things we might be able to work on together.
Yeah, that would I'd like that.
And I'm not sure what that would look like on the wiki
mm-hmm.
site if we had some kind of discussion area or something like that, or if it would be more of sending emails back and forth to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We could, if it was going to be group, if we wanted to open it up to let the whole group see it,
mm-hmm.
We could just use the Google email
mm-hmm.
and let that kind of bounce around through there. Then even the people that may not be directly interested can
mm-hmm.
at least see what's going on and see what kind of issues there are.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give them two things. It allows them to kind of lurk out there and watch what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they get a little of what they were looking for, learning more about what's going on. And at the same time, you know, they can weigh in if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I said, I'd like to hear the opinions of people that haven't tried some of this stuff. And sometimes in some of the work that I do outside, I tell my engineering students that I'm in one of the best positions because I'm not the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can ask the really stupid questions. And sometimes that's exactly what you want, is the people who don't already know what can't be done.
Yeah.
And so they can ask the questions that you think you already know the answer to, but when somebody actually puts it to you, you have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, and maybe putting something out on the discussion group and let people know that, you know, even if they don't feel like they have expertise to contribute, just questions.
Yeah.
I mean, everything I do, I think, ought to be questioned.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's such a good mix of us in the group. You know, I got the sense at USCOTS that, you know, some of us do have, you know, a lot of online teaching experience. Like, you know, Carl has a lot more than I have, and there are some people that are maybe just getting their feet wet or are thinking about this in the future and want to know what it's like. So I would hope that some of us who have more of the experience, maybe we can work more on, you know, putting the site together, and other people that, you know, just want to be lurkers or just want the information, you know, it'll end up being there for them in the end, and hopefully they can come back and share their experiences if they try certain things or use some of the resources on the site. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I thought maybe I got disconnected.
Is everybody still there? Yeah.
You know, I was thinking of something else, and I didn't, and maybe we've kind of already talked about this, but what about some kind of like, almost like a mentoring relationship? Like maybe there are some people who are just getting started thinking about teaching online and teaching statistics online, and they really want to be able to work with someone or talk with someone who has more experience. Could there be any type of like mentoring system, or would we just sort of consider everyone to be mentors to someone new? I don't know if that's making sense.
I think that would make more sense, you know, if we had people that were in a close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
Online, it may not work quite as well.
Yeah.
But I think if we kind of look at us all as, you know, some have more experience than others do, but everyone contributes in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, even if they contribute questions are as good as answers as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell my students that, you know, a well-phrased question is almost worth more than the answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
So that can help us a lot, just what are the questions. And to some degree, if the people that are not more involved with this at this point are asking questions, that points us to the things that we ought to be adding to this wiki site.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. So I think it sounds like we have some good ideas of where we can get started here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, one big thing we talked about is, you know, setting some concrete goals, and one goal could be to get this site put together. Keeping in contact as, you know, as much as we can, or just trying to touch base on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, through email that would be a little bit easier, but we can certainly arrange these conference calls if enough people are interested and if that would maybe keep people on task.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what I'm kind of hearing is that the conference calls maybe should be on an as-needed basis.
Yeah, it seems like that might work well with people's schedules.
And if we were to kind of more regularly, maybe the thing to do is to have kind of regular postings to the email list.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of keeps people thinking and working with it.
Yeah.
Jogging their memories. So Michelle and I can kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then take the and maybe take the wet paint site and try to look at that and think about structure there.
Mm-hmm.
And use the regular emails to encourage people to go out to the web page site and add things to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they, like we said, even if it's nothing more than adding a question.
Right.
So. So it sounds like things that if we look at, I think you summarized the conclusions pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next steps is probably to start, for Michelle and I to start entering stuff into this mail list and try to maybe shoot for once every week or two, just
mm-hmm.
a short note on it,
yeah.
Maybe some thoughts, and see what that starts developing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, have at least the first one of those kind of pointing to the wet paint site and trying to get people to, if nothing else, and actually what we could do is I could create a area in the wet paint site that's kind of a like a sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't think of where it ought to be, just go to the site and throw something into the sandbox.
Yeah, right. That's a good idea.
So the first, I would say the next thing that we need to do is, Michelle and I can kind of summarize this discussion and then post that summary onto the mail list.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep.
Any other thoughts? So,
is it the wet paint site where we had kind of the groups and people were signed up for different groups?
Yeah.
So are we thinking like that the final site will kind of have that structure and then contributions will be under those headings or similar headings? Or
I think that's initially what we were thinking, but, I mean, we might have to reevaluate that as well as we start working on this more because maybe we'll think of other headings or, you know, certain things that we thought of before maybe we'll sort of drop out.
Right, okay.
But I was thinking of, you know, yeah, having different sections like a technology section or an assessment section, activities or things of that nature.
Yeah.
Were you kind of thinking that too, David?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. And, you know, as an example, maybe we could create a section that there was some talk about a qualifier quiz or test
mm-hmm.
that a few of us had thought about. Well, if we were to create a section that has to do with that, and all people have to do is to go there and edit in a question.
Yeah.
And you don't have to write a quiz. Just come up with a question. You don't even have to have the answer to it. Just what you think would be a good question of students thinking of taking an online course. And that way we can kind of set that wet paint site up as the place where we kind of do brain dump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And periodically, Michelle and I can kind of work on it and try to structure it and pull things together and maybe reorganize. But basically keep it so that it's a place to kind of dump ideas.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like it would be too time-consuming for people. I would certainly go on and throw stuff out there or or add stuff myself.
Yeah,
so.
I hope it wouldn't be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the idea behind a wiki is that it's a relatively easy thing to add stuff to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of why I was thinking of keeping the wet paint site for that, because the wiki that we've got under cause
mm-hmm.
is relatively difficult to add to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I had looked at it, and you know, they've got syntax and so forth. But it's really not so much what I would call a wiki as a user-editable website.
Right.
And so you really need to understand a little bit more about writing HTML and stuff like that. Whereas the wet paint, you can go in, open it up, and if you can write in Microsoft Word, you can write in that.
Right.
So. Okay.
Okay, well, is there anything else anyone wants to talk about before we end our call? Or have we kind of covered most of our bases?
I think that's good for me. And my little guy's been up for a while now.
Oh, yeah, I heard him.
Yeah, we heard him.
And Michelle, we can talk a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I look forward to that. Are you going to be in Minnesota all week?
I leave Thursday. I get there Monday morning, late Monday morning, and I leave Thursday morning. So
okay,
there
yeah, we'll definitely have a chance to talk then.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from you, Carl?
It sounds good to me.
Okay.
I'll follow along and see what I can help.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully in the next day or two we can maybe get some, or at least by the end of the week, we can get something up on our Google mail list to just summarize what we talked about today and go through some next steps to get everyone started.
sounds good.
Okay.
The Google mail list, too. Dave, I had issues. I emailed you. I had issues signing up for it.
Uh-huh.
Because I needed a password and a sign-in for Gmail, and I couldn't remember mine.
maybe some instructions on this, because the way this should work, even without a Gmail address, you're getting the emails, right?
I haven't been getting very many. I think I got a couple from you at the beginning.
Okay.
But are there other emails going around?
Well, did you get the email about this phone conference?
Yes.
Okay. There haven't been very many emails out there.
Okay.
There's only been four or five.
Okay, then I probably got them. Yeah.
Okay. So what that does is you don't actually have to go to Google at all.
So can I just reply then?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
And maybe the thing for me to do is to write up a kind of a help file or a help entry and send it out to everybody on how this thing works. Because you don't need to have if all you're going to do is get the emails, reply to emails, then you don't need a Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to start a new discussion, you can send an email to the group address.
Yep.
And it will automatically go out to start a new discussion and go out to everybody else.
Okay.
So the only thing you really need to get into Google for is if you want to search the discussion archives or
right.
if you want to use it for file sharing.
Right.
And so in most cases, I think people probably don't even need that.
Right.
So if you do want to do that, let me know, and I can give you you have to create a Gmail account, and then I can send you an invite to the Gmail account. But I would think most people just want to use the email portion of it.
Yeah, I might start with the email portion and then see how it goes, because file sharing might be good.
So that's something I ought to do here shortly is send out a message on how to use the Google News Group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and end our call then.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It was good talking to you both. And
yeah.
I look forward to seeing you next week, Bethany.
Yeah, me too. It'll be fun.
Yep. And I'll talk with you again soon, David.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
Yep.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please.